So today, I really want to speak about a common topic you've probably heard sermons on, but it's fear, okay? And the title today is Do Not Fear. Do not fear. Psalm 34, verse 4. We can start there. Psalm of David. David had plenty to fear in his life. Plenty to fear. And he's writing this psalm really in this moment where, yes, he had a lot of fear he was dealing with as he was running for his life, really. He was running in the wilderness from his life as King Saul was trying to take his life. And he was just trying to survive. And he says these words. He says, I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. That's a good God. That is a good God. We all experience fear in life. Each and every one of us. That's just part of life, right? We experience fear. Now, some fear, though, we have to talk about is good. Okay? Not all fear is bad. In many ways, fear is good and fear is natural, right? When you're at the beach and there's signs for a riptide that's running in the ocean, you know, fear says, hey, you know what? I'm going to respect that riptide and I'm not going out in it. I'm not going to go test it and see how strong I am. Not a good idea. When you're on the safari and the guide says, stay in the vehicle, right? You're not going to be one of those who just opens the door and say, hey, you know, there's a pride of lions. I think I'm going to go pet some of those lions and see, because they just look like little cuddly, little, you know, cute things, right? You shouldn't go walking amongst the wild lions, or any lions, really, for that sake, because fear says, not a good idea. You shouldn't touch the hot stove, all these things. I mean, there's things in us that is natural to say, you know what, I fear that. In some ways, we're saying, I respect that. Because when we properly fear something, and this is the fear of the Lord, by the way, and I'm not preaching on the fear of the Lord today, but the fear of the Lord is I have awe and respect of God. And I'm not going to disdain him in any way. In fact, I'm going to honor him and respect him and reverence him. Because he's all-powerful. He's almighty. There's no one higher, no one greater. He holds all things in his hands, and he's the true judge of everything on the earth. He holds everything in his hands. So we respect, right? We respect. So fear is a certain way of respect. You know, there are funny stories about this, though. I mean, you read them all the time. People who put themselves in situations are like, why did you do that? Like literally, I mean, I don't know, I've seen stories, it seems like I see a story every year about someone going in Yellowstone National Park, which is a place I've been to because I understand, and you could literally walk out amongst the wildlife, you really can. Like there's just, you drive by and there's a herd of bison, it's awesome. You can get out of your car, you can take pictures, all that kind of stuff, but there's always those who think, you know what? Taking a picture from 100 yards, not good enough. They walk out there. They literally are going to go like pet the bison, get the selfie, like, hey, me and the bison, we're hanging out. And inevitably, every year, somebody gets gored by a 2,000-pound animal that the person didn't have a sense enough to fear it. What in the world is going on? Fear can be a very good thing, a very healthy thing. There's healthy fears, but not all fears, we know, are healthy, right? Not all fears are healthy. There can be a serious problem with fear. We looked at the psalm, as David wrote. David had many reasons to fear. Many reasons, like I said, running from his life, hiding from King Saul. He even is running from King Saul. He even runs into the enemy's camp. And this is part of the psalm. He's running into the enemy's camp, straight into the Philistines' camp. And he's at the mercy of the king. Like, what are we going to do with this? And of course, the way he gets out is he acts like a madman. He acts foaming at the mouth. He acts like he's deluded and crazy. And the king, the enemy's king, he's like, what in the world is going on? What's going on with this David, this leader in Israel? And the Lord has mercy on him in the midst of that. But it's one thing after another. Fear can be exhausting. And this is David. David is exhausted. He's running for his life day after day, week after week, month after month. Fear can be exhausting. And it can greatly trouble the heart. Have you ever had exhausting fear? Have you ever been troubled in your heart that it just was seemed like this unending story of hardship and difficulty? So David seeks the Lord. He says, I sought the Lord, and he delivered me. See, that's what's beautiful. He delivered me. And that kind of language says, gives me the feeling as there was the clutches of fear that were holding fast to David. You know, fear has that power. But God delivered David from the power of fear in his life. Deliver me from all my fears. David gets a breakthrough and is delivered. And then David lets us know that those who place their trust in God will not be put to shame. Instead, they can come to a place of radiant joy. Wow. Is it possible to go from fear to radiant joy? Yes, it is possible. It's impossible. It is possible with God to come out of fear into radiant joy. You know, we've all experienced fear. We know the unsettling nature of fear. We know when fear is trying to grab hold of our heart, is trying to get its clutches in us. It's unsettling. And it can create something very unhealthy within us. Do you know fear can even mess with your physical health? Yeah, if you walk in fear enough, it will affect your physical health. You will be unhealthy. You'll have those stomach pains. You'll have those problems that you feel in your body. Where is it coming from? But things like fear in our lives can get us to a place where we're actually quite unhealthy. Unhealthy mentally, unhealthy physically. Fear can run us around. Fear can do all kinds of things. Fear can control us if we let it. Fear can cause us to get stuck in life. And it can cause us to be overcome by a force that is controlling us. It's causing us to hide. When the Lord says, come out of the house. You know, COVID did that, right? We see that with COVID. And sometimes, you know, it took people time to start coming out of the house again. Because there was that fear. There was that fear of this disease. That if I catch it, it's going to kill me. Like, it was just, some people just had that in their mind. If I catch it, it's going to, I'm done for. So there's a problem with fear. Because fear can control our lives. You know, one of the greatest commandments in Scripture is this. Simply put, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. This command in the Bible over 100 times, Old Testament, New Testament. It's an Old Testament command. It's a New Testament command. It's just for all of us to know that God speaks to us very clearly over and over and over again. Says, do not fear. In Luke 1, Mary is told by the angel that speaks to her, says, Mary, you're highly favored. God's looking down upon you. You're highly favored. And Mary is afraid. She's distraught. Like, what is this angel? Who is this angel? Why is he speaking to me? The angel says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Sure, but the angel might show up in your door, your house. You might also be afraid. But when God speaks to his people, he says, do not be afraid. So often when God is calling a person or people to act in faith, he begins it with that, do not fear. Usually that's because there is something to fear, right? There is something to fear. But God's saying, don't go the pathway of fear. Don't fear. Don't go that pathway. When God speaks to Abraham, now at the time he was called Abram, when Abraham is struggling with the promises he was given, God gave him promises, right? God gave him promises and he was struggling. He was struggling because he hadn't seen the promises come to pass. Genesis 15:1, the Lord comes to Abraham. He says, sometimes later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Abraham's distraught because he's been given the promises. He says, "But what good are all the promises, or all the blessings that you're giving me?" And yeah, he's doing well. He's doing well financially. He has many herds in that day and time, many cattle. That was wealth. He's doing really well. He has many servants. But it's like, what good is it all, Lord, if I don't have my son, the inheritance? And he feels distraught. He feels worried. He is in fear. And God says this. He says, "Do not be afraid." Have you ever felt heavy, the weight of the world on you? Like, "God, I know you said, but I don't see it. I don't feel it. I'm not experiencing it." It's like life is going on and on and on, and I don't. There's so many things that we can be and get into places of fear. Abraham, I think, was even getting to the point where he was beginning to believe or fear that he was foolish. That he was foolish for believing God. You ever felt foolish for believing God and stepping out and risking you, your family, your household? There's so many things that we step out with God is cause risk, and sometimes we'll look back and say, "Was I being just foolish?" Abraham left his family. He left his land. He journeyed to an unknown land far from them. Now he's living as a sojourner in this new land that God was promising him, but no heir, no son. You know, fear sometimes can cause us to feel alone, lonely. Because, "Lord, I want to live for you. I'm living for you, Lord. But, Lord, are you going to come through? I'm believing, I'm trusting, but I don't see it. I don't see it." Now, God spent some time with Abram and spoke to his heart and said, "I am coming through. I will provide. I will be your reward. I will do everything I said I will do." And Abraham is strengthened by God, and he turns away from fear. In fact, verse 6 says, "Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." That's important. Abraham believed. He believed. See, that's so important that we believe the word of God. What did God say? Sometimes we need to go back to the words that God has spoken to us. It's still true. It's still in effect. We need to believe God's word and trust him. It says, "The Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." Oh my goodness. Sometimes our faith will be tried, and it will be tried with fear. But because fear has always been a foe to faith, always. And if we live by faith, we have to overcome fear. There's no either way. If you're going to live by faith with God, there's going to be fear you're going to have to face in life. And we're called to overcome fear. It's important because the lens we look at life through affects how we do life. It affects everything we do. It affects whether we'll venture out or we'll avoid all risk. And you know this because if you've made a mistake in life, a big mistake, that fear of failure is huge. It's huge because you took a risk at one time in your life and it failed. For whatever reason, it failed. And you're not going to be so quick to go out and risk anything anymore. Because you felt foolish. You knew what happened, and it's like, "Oh my goodness, Lord, I will never go back." You even swear that off. And now maybe the Lord wants to call you to something that's stepping out, taking a risk, and you don't want to do it. The lens we look at is so important. It's the lens we look at life, whether we'll come out into the light or we'll stay isolated in a dark place. It will affect us. It will affect whether we fulfill our God-given destiny. God has a God-given destiny for each and every one of us here. If I live in fear, I won't go into God's promises. I won't do it. I will keep myself out of the promised land. You know, it's amazing how people will choose the desert over the promised land because of their fears. Their fears keep them out of the promised land, and they'd rather go journey in the desert and spend 40 years there because they fear those giants. But God calls us to face our giants. And if we don't have faith, we won't be able to do it. Fear keeps us from facing our giants and the things that we need to call out. David could not slay the giant with fear in his heart. But he was freed from fear. He had faith. He knew his God. He knew his God, and he knew that giant was going to fall. It takes faith. It takes faith to go into God's calling in our lives, to do what God calls us to do. It takes faith to fight battles that are way bigger than us. And we have battles that are bigger than us. It takes faith. See, fear wants to counter faith. It wants to take us out of faith. So we understand fear is a real thing, and it's something each of us has had to deal with and battle in our lives. We will have fear in our lives, but hear this. We'll have fear in our lives, but we don't have to live in fear. We don't ever have to embrace fear. We never have to be led by fear. In fact, we're to live by faith. Our faith must find its expression in our lives, where it goes beyond a concept, and we see a point of working in our lives where faith comes alive in us. Faith has to have a point of emphasis, of coming alive in our lives. And I'll find out, we all do, we find out how much we trust God. We find out how much we trust God or lean upon him when we face struggles, trials, and difficulties in life. See, that's when faith is really pressed. You know, am I going to fear when I have difficulties, hardships, trials? Or am I going to have faith? You know, it's when the boat is rocking and the storm is throwing us all around. It's when things seem dark. It's so important that we're not living in fear but faith. Psalm 23:4 is such a familiar psalm to us. You probably all could say this out loud. I'm just going to use the ESV translation here. It speaks about walking through the darkest valleys. Again, David, in his experience, he knew what this was. He says this. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you fear evil today or harm coming to you? I want to notice two things here in this verse. There is a walking through the valley, okay? Very important. There's not avoiding the valley. There's not going around the valley. There's not telling God, God, another day, another time, another place, but I'm not going there. We'll tell God that in so many terms. We'll say, God, I'm not going through that valley. That's a dark valley. That's a terrible place. That's a place I don't want to be around. Don't like those places. I'm just going to stay in a place of comfort and ease. But you know, God calls us to walk through valleys, dark valleys. But it's important because he says, walk through. Don't stay. Don't camp out. But walk through. And know this, you don't walk alone. You do not walk alone. That's what and David says this very clearly. It says, for you are with me. This is important, knowing God, that God is with us in all things, even in the dark valleys. And this is also important to us because this is discipleship. This is our growth in God. We must face challenges in order to grow. And some of those challenges are in dark valleys. They're hard places. God uses the prophet Isaiah to give us some comforting words. Isaiah 41. He says this, "For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you." Oh, church, he's our helper. He's with us in our time of need in all times. He's with us in those dark places we can walk through because he's with us. He takes our right hand and he says, follow me. Follow me. Are you following him today? Even when he's leading us through dark valleys. This is part of our discipleship. The part we don't like, but the part that we need to embrace. We're to face our troubles. We're to face our difficulties with God. Not avoiding them and not succumbing to them. The other note here David speaks about is the shadow. He speaks about the shadow of death, this valley where these shadows are creeping in. What is a shadow, right? What is a shadow, right? It's where something blocks the light, right? Creating a shadow effect. A shadow is produced by objects interfering with light. And it seems like these are dark places because light is being interfered with. But here's the thing that we need to know. Shadows are ominous. They can even create scary-looking pictures, especially when something's shrouded in darkness. But shadows don't hurt anybody. Never has there been a shadow that hurt anybody. They can create terribly ominous, oppressive environments. But they don't hurt anybody. But it's the shadows that can cause us great fear. We can get gripped with fear just because we're looking at the shadows. And we're going, oh no, it's coming. Oh no. And we get dread over the shadows because we're fearing what the shadows mean. You know, a child sleeping at night during the storm, you know, sees dark shadows through the window, right? There's lightning and there's storm and sees the limbs, the wind blowing the limbs and sees the shadows it creates in the room and begins to believe that it's not just a tree in a storm, it's a monster coming to get him. What can shadows do? Shadows can create fear. If we allow it. And then the fear seizes the young boy, and then he's going to hide under the covers or he's going to run to mom or dad. Help! Well, we do need help in times of trouble, in times of fear. But there comes a place where we realize it's only a shadow. What about adults? I hope you overcame that one, by the way. We still need reassurance that we're safe in the storm. But what about adults? What happens when the doctor brings back to us a bad report of a disease? What happens? We hear the bad report and say, oh no, and we want to say, I have this? Can I tell you that a diagnosis is kind of like a shadow? Now, I'm not talking about it's not a real thing, but the problem what happens is when we hear that word, sometimes people will just right there give in to fear in such a way that it's not the shadow, but now it's the certain death that's coming to me. Sometimes people accept the shadow in that manner, in that way, as opposed to, Lord, it's not my time. It's not my time. How do we handle the shadows? The diagnosis is not death. It's a shadow of death. But sometimes people fall right into the grips of it and they succumb to it. How important are the words of David? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I walk through the valley. There may be some hard times, some difficult times. Don't walk alone. Don't get isolated. Don't cower in fear. A lot of times people in fear get isolated and alone and by themselves, and they become easy targets for the enemy. That's when you need community. You need prayer. You need to bring out the word of God. Confess it over your life. You need to grow strong in the Lord. We don't succumb to fear, to the shadows. Because David says this, that he will fear no evil, or one translation says, he will fear no harm. Basically say, no harm will come to me, though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. Because he simply says this and he holds fast, God, you are with me. I'm not alone. And God is with us. He is with us. You know, what about relationships that seem dead? What about the marriage that seems to be over? Sometimes people will just pack it in and it wasn't time. Because there was the fear that this will never get better. But if a relationship is worth saving, a marriage, a close friendship, we need to walk closely with God through reconciliation and mending of the wounds. There is work to be done, absolutely. And with God, all things are possible. And God has even resurrected what has been considered dead marriages or relationships where there was great division. God can do amazing things. Sometimes it's people's calling. Sometimes some people feel like, God can't do anything with me. I'm no good. And sometimes we feel like our calling from God is dead. Or our dream that we had is impossible. And our dream that even God gave us is dead. And we don't think it's possible. Jack Phillips, I don't know if y'all know who Jack Phillips is. He's really not anybody special. He lives in a small town out in Colorado. He's a baker by trade. He makes cakes and cupcakes and nice sweet things. Apparently quite good at what he does. He has a little store on a corner in a shopping area. It's called Masterpiece Creations. And that's it. That was his life. Good life. Christian man. Enjoyed people coming to his store and serving them and making cakes for people and all this kind of stuff. But one day, a gay couple comes in and wants them to make a cake for for their marriage. He politely sits down with them and tells them he can't do that. He can't create a cake that has a message that he does not agree with. His conscience does not agree with. Now, boy, people have all kinds of feelings about that. And within 2 hours, those men left, he gets death threats on the phone. And then death threats continue to come to him and his family over and over again. And all of a sudden, he finds himself in a firestorm. He was just a baker in a nice little store on a corner of some shopping lot. He wasn't asking for this. He didn't want this. But now he was caught up in a 12-year court case. Through many, many courts and decisions and levels, all the way up to the Supreme Court. Remember this story? Simple man. I mean, if you see him in an interview, he doesn't like being in front of cameras. He doesn't like, you know, he's not up there saying, we've won a great victory. He's just like humbly like, praise God, we've been redeemed. And to where to the point it says, First Amendment rights are safe. They've been won. So they won the case. The case was won. But he and his family went through a storm, a great, great storm, as very many hateful things were sent their way. What was it? It was fear. You see, you know, if the enemy can intimidate you and get you into fear, you'll close your bake shop, you'll go hide, you'll give up your calling, and you'll just say, hey, I'm out of here. I'm done. I won't say anything or do anything. But what happens when God says, I know you're a simple baker, step forward, and with me, you're going to win a great victory. You know, it's the kind of victory that actually wins victories for you and for me and for anybody who wants religious rights and protection of our religious liberties, where somebody can't just inflict fear upon us and cause us to run and hide. So know that name. Actually, there's a a new documentary that just came out called Truth Rising. And I would say go see it. I was thinking about even seeing a group watch to watch it. He's in that. He's in that documentary, and just the things. And it's about those who have gone through some difficulties, through some pressures, through some fire. But they came through the storm, and God was with them the whole way. He did say this in the documentary as I was watching it. He said he grew closer to God going through the trials than he ever had been. He was a Christian before. But he said when these trials came, when these difficulties came, he grew closer to God. I tell you what, trials, difficulties, hardships will cause us to grow closer to God than anything, more than anything else. They're the things. See, we want to run from the valley. We want to run from that valley. But God says, I need you to go through the valley with me. See, holding his hands. Holding his hands. There's more we could talk about. In that, even in that psalm, it's so powerful. We're not to give in to fear. And we won't grow. If we shrink back in fear, we won't grow. We won't. We have to overcome fear. And with God's help, we can. So what happens when we face situations out of our control? Yeah. Where fear is present, we can overcome. There's another story. I'm just going to probably share this last story. Dr. Cloud, I don't know if... Has anybody ever read the book on boundaries? Dr. Henry Cloud. Well, he is New York bestseller. He's written many books. He's a well-known Christian psychologist, spoken all over the world to Christian audiences, large mega churches, leadership functions, secular and Christian leadership groups. He's been called on, and he's a busy man. He's a busy man. Many people want him and his wisdom and his knowledge and all the things he brings to the table. But you know, there was a time in seventh grade that he vowed he would never speak in front of people ever again. Seventh grade English class, giving a book report, starts stuttering, freezes up, goes just blank. Absolutely, ever happened where you just go blank, can't think, everything just frozen in front of people, and he can't finish. Teacher gets up, tells him to sit down, and says, you know, what good are you going to be if you can't even give a presentation in front of your class? She knew, like, you want to be a lawyer? That's what you want to be? You'll never be a lawyer if you can't give a book presentation in front of class. Teacher shames him. He's done. I'm never getting in front of people ever again. And that fear just enters him. Spirit of fear. There's such a thing as a spirit of fear. And he wouldn't. He got his psychology degree. He was in his mid-20s. He was doing his profession. That was fine. People asked him to come speak. No. No. It was always a no. Always no. Not doing that. And then he gets a prophetic word. And now I'm not going to go into all that, but literally in the gymnasium, in the locker room, where he comes in, a pastor is there in the locker room taking a shower. Comes over to him and says, are you a Christian? I have a word for you. And then spend some time. They go to have lunch and basically says, God has called you to speak before many, many people and to share what God has given you and has put into you. And he says, God has called you. And he's not only that, he says, something happened when you were a child that caused you to never speak, want to speak in front of people. But he says, God is calling you to speak in front of many, many people. He's like, what do you do? God, what do? I don't want to speak in front of people. But then he got the next invitation soon after. And he's like, Lord, I don't want to do this, but you said I would. And out of obedience, with no excitement, did he go and share with this group of I think it's pastors. said he hated it. It was terrible. It was awful. A friend went with him to help him. But he kept going. He kept going. You know, sometimes the first time we try to overcome fear, it feels like we're stumbling and bumbling and we're tripping and we're falling and we don't even know what we're doing. Why am I doing this? God, you called me to do it. And now he's a New York bestseller. He's an excellent speaker. He's amazing. He has incredible information and studies that are helping many, many people. But he had to overcome a fear. He had to win the victory over fear. And that spirit that wants to control our lives. The spirit of fear will keep you from your destiny, will keep you from blessing others, will keep you from stepping out and taking a risk to do what God's called you to do. Fear will do that if you let it. We don't live under fear. We're not called to have fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." See, God's spirit is not fear. If we live by the Spirit of God, we will have fear being pushed out of us. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Another translation says, "Power, love, and a sound mind, a clear mind, with clear thinking, not affected by fear." We can walk through any valley with God. We can walk through any ominous, shadowy, terrible place. And you know what David says? David says, "God sets a feast, a table before me in the presence of my enemies." You know, that's like winning that Supreme Court case for Jack Phillips. He's like, before my enemies, people who are gnashing their teeth at me, hating me, just spewing death threats at me. But God sets the victory. God wins the battle. And the foe is defeated. You see, God will do that for you. God will do that for me. God will do that for each and every one of us. But we are called to press into Him today. And sometimes we have to say, "Fear, get out of my life. I belong to Jesus." Do you know what I'm saying? We need to have such conviction of God's word and what His word says that we deal with that spirit that sometimes we've allowed to have space in our life. It's time for it to go. Fear, get out of my life. You cannot dictate to me anymore. We are victors in Christ Jesus. So call upon His name. Call upon His name. Rebuke fear. You have the authority of Christ to do so. You're more than an overcomer with God as your helper. So I hope you hear that today. Is there anything that you're fearful of? Is there any kind of fear working in your life? The Lord has a calling on your life. It could be the fear of just walking over to the neighbor and sharing Christ in some meaningful way, in some way that God gives you to share. It could be that fear. That fear just to talk to a stranger and say, "God loves you," or whatever the Lord's putting in your heart to say and speak. You see, we need to overcome fears because, you see, I don't know if you notice in our culture today, but there is a culture that's trying to get Christians to fear. There's a culture that tries to get Christians to shut up, stay home, keep your religion in your church, don't bring it to the public sphere. But I don't know if you've noticed, I mean, we're winning a whole lot of Supreme Court cases lately, a whole lot, that says you have the right to enter the public sphere. That was that, remember that football coach in Washington who won that case? So even teachers today have the right to wear an "I love Jesus" shirt in class. And people don't even realize that. You can wear "I love Jesus" shirt in class. And you have the First Amendment right to do so, freedom of religion to do so. Now you're not proselytizing. You're just saying, "This is my faith." You can put it on your desk and you're not going to be fired. Well, even if you get fired, They're breaking the rules. God is winning. Christians have to stand up and come into the battle and say, "Lord, we're taking ground." And sometimes the ground is within your own soul. So let us win victories today, folks. Let's win the victory of walking in faith, defeating fear. Amen. Amen.